If the board games on rotation in your house are mostly classics, say those old Milton Bradley games, the Candyland originally made in 1949, or the Game of Life back in 1860 released as the Checkered Game of Life, there might be room for some new additions. And summer, I think, is a great time to find some new games to play. If you're an experienced board gamer, you can share some of your favorites with us, or if you need a recommendation for an event, an age group, a family size, you name it, you can call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What's your game? Margaret Rasmussen is a manager at I'm Bored Games and Family Fun in Middleton. Margaret, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, when did you first get into board games?
I played as a kid like everyone. When I met my now husband back in college in the early 90s, we played. When we had kids, we didn't play very much. But really, in 2004, when Ticket to Ride came out, that's kind of when we came back and played. And now I'm playing several times a week.
Let's talk about Ticket to Ride as an example of what people call gateway games. You know, there's the games we grew up with, the Clues and Monopolies and Life and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And some people do know, some people don't know, there's this whole other world of games out there. Ticket to Ride is one. Talk a little bit about
it. The big thing about the games that are out now, you can call them hobby games, you can call them strategy games. The big thing about them is it's not you roll dice and then you move. There's a lot more different strategies that you're going to be doing. Sometimes you're scoring points throughout the game so you can see, you know, how well you're doing. Other ones, you know, you're working as a team to beat the game. There's cooperative games. So it's just one of those things where you can play the game, the same game, over and over again, but it might be different every time that you're playing it.
Before we get more into particular games, this is one of those hobbies that it seems like the internet and phones and all the games, that digital games, computer games, console games might have killed. It's really been the opposite, right?
It is. And again, a lot of it is, you know, Facebook used to be fun, email used to be fun, and now it's yet another chore you have to do. And there's something to be said for sitting down across the table from someone and actually interacting with a human being. And that's what board games do.
And my blessing, or maybe curse, so I'm a big board game nerd, I think, a big fan of games. And one thing the internet did was come up with sites like Board Game Geek or others where you could find out about all the games you never heard of and, you know, buy them online, or then find stores as they started carrying them, or get those games republished. And all of a sudden, this whole world of games to spend money on opened up.
It is. And it's an industry that's exploded. Last year alone, there were over 3,000 games that came out. Every day there's, you know, 10 new titles that are coming out, and you're never going to be able to find them all. So that is what's nice, that, you know, there's these internet websites out there like Board Game Geek, where it's really just this gathering of people that have similar interests as you. But, you know, there's reviewers, there's videos, so you can actually find a lot of information. There's a lot of brick and mortar stores where you can go in and you can talk to another person to get recommendations.
Or play the game there.
Or play the game there, like at our store. But the big thing is it's not scary. And like Ticket to Ride or the gateways, the fun thing about those is, you know, you can learn how to play them within 5 minutes. And, you know, somebody I'm teaching has a very good shot at beating me, even though I've been playing the game for 10 years. There's just, they're very welcoming to new people and to people who've played them forever and want to keep playing them.
We're talking about board games with Margaret Rasmussen from I'm Bored Games and Family Fun in Middleton. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Vicky is with us in Oregon. Vicky, hi.
Hello. Settlers of Catan is a huge hit in our house. My kids were learning to play it even before they were really old enough to actually understand it. And, you know, it's just one of those games that when we get together with friends is always at the top of the pile for us to play.
Thank you so much for calling, Margaret. Settlers of Catan, now just called Catan, right?
It's,
in the newer editions?
Yep, the newest edition, they dropped the name and is now just called Catan. That one has been around for, it's got to be 15, 20 years now. New people are still being brought into the hobby with that one. That's a great example of a game where, you know, you can be playing it again and again, and there's always something different. There's, of course, expansions that'll make it even more, but just the base game, different people you play it with, and it's a great one to introduce new friends that maybe haven't played these games before.
Right. I mean, there are some more hardcore games out there. They're longer. They're more complicated to learn. Catan is one that, even with my, I guess, non-gamer friends, I might think of them, they're happy to play that.
They're happy to play that. It's going to be, you know, about an hour and a half. You know that before you start playing, so people can be aware of it. And you know, some of the things, like the couple years ago, there was an article about how the Green Bay Packers offensive line, you know, got together and played Settlers of Catan, and they were apparently very competitive. So you can be casual with it, or you can be super competitive like those guys were.
Let's go to another caller. Thanks for that call. We've got Helen with us in Madison. Helen, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to tell us about, Helen?
I'm playing at Avalon.
A game called Avalon?
Yeah.
And is that a fun one to play with a big group?
Yeah.
All right, Helen, thanks for telling us about that Avalon.
Avalon is actually going to be, it's like the Resistance, which is one of those hidden team games. Half the people playing are on one team, the other half are on another, and you don't know who's on your team. Avalon is a very similar game, but set in King Arthur. So it's got a few different rules, but again, it's all about hidden team. Who's your friend and who's your enemy? You don't know. That's what you're figuring out as you go through.
So I haven't played this one. Is it half of us are on Team King Arthur and half of us are on Team Mordred or something like that?
Yes, but there's also a Merlin in there, which okay. It basically is a little bit more complex than Resistance.
Interesting, Helen. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. So we'll go next to Chris on the line in La Crosse. Chris, hi.
Hi. I was just going to call about a game called Puerto Rico. I encountered it when I was on a deployment with the Army, and it turned out to be really fun for us.
And that one, I have this one and have played it a lot. You are developing Puerto Rico. You develop resources, ship them back to Europe, that kind of thing?
Yes, and you get some gold and you manage your island. And I learned something about something called European strategy board games, where it's not so straightforward like a Monopoly. And I think if after this radio program, I might be headed towards the game shop and spark the weekend up.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. And he mentioned European strategy games. People call them Euro games or German-style games. A lot of this came from Germany and elsewhere in Europe.
It did. So like Settlers of Catan, for example, came out of Germany. This has been the hobby, you know, we've always had like the Axis and Allies and things like that. You know, the war games in Germany, they're a little bit more sensitive. They don't have towards that. They don't have the World War II games because of their history. So they have, you know, farming in the, or you're building a provincial village in France, you know, Carcassonne, or like Puerto Rico, where you're building up Puerto Rico. So they're called Euros or European, or like you said, German style. Nowadays, however, they are pretty much made everywhere. There's some out of the Czech Republic. There's some out of Poland. The U.S. actually has a lot of designers and companies. So it's more of a style of game now versus the actual location of where they come from. But they're going to be a little bit more complex as far as the rules set goes. Usually your first time playing the game, you're just trying to figure out how to play, not necessarily how to win. So they're designed to be played again and again, and there's a lot of different strategies, usually many paths to victory.
Let's talk about that right out of the box concept. I think a lot of these games, people will do themselves a favor if they're the owner of the game. Read the rules, maybe lay it out on the table first. This is how I do most games. I don't open it up for the first time, unless it's like a real, you know, a party type game. I do homework first.
There's different levels of game. So some of them, like the party games, they're designed that, you know, you open it with everyone around you, you sit down, usually the rule book is about a page long, and you can, you know, go ahead and start having fun right away. Other ones, like Puerto Rico or some other ones, you are going to want to, you know, open the box, spend a little time with the rule book. My husband, for example, he's the one that reads all the rule books in our house. And, you know, we put the pieces out and we actually see, okay, this is what they're talking about. How does it move before we actually sit down and play the game?
I actually have friends who buy games, give them to me to read the rules and learn, and then teach them to play the game they've bought. So that's definitely my role in life. Yeah.
Exactly. And some people, that actually is their favorite part of the hobby, the finding the new games and teaching them. I've actually had customers that will open the games, look at them, and play them around, but never actually play with another person because they need to find people that want to play that heavy of a game or
and
that style
that time,
of a game.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's talk about games that you can show up at the party, sight unseen, and open it. I think people have seen Apples to Apples. That's one that doesn't take a lot of advanced work to figure that out. What are some other ones that might fit that bill?
Well, there's a lot of the party games, and I say that saying, you know, that they're designed to go to a party. You don't necessarily have to have a large group, but they can handle a large group. There's a lot of the party games have come kind of from, you can go back and see where they originally originated from. Apples to Apples is one. Everybody's familiar with Pictionary, you know, Trivial Pursuit. So there's different branches of the family. So like Dixit is a great game that kind of does a take on Apples to Apples. It's basically pictures. So you're trying to get your picture associated with someone else. Another one that's absolutely fantastic is Codenames. That one's a word association game. I've played it with 20 plus people. I've also played it with 4. So it's got a nice wide breadth. And again, you can teach someone how to play it in about 30 seconds, and it's team-based. So even if somebody doesn't know what they're doing, they can kind of go along for the ride, which is fun.
We're talking to Margaret Rasmussen, manager at I'm Bored Games and Family Fun Store in Middleton. We're talking about the best board games to play, maybe to try out this summer, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your favorite board or card game growing up? Is there one that you're playing now that you can't wait to teach new people? Do you need a recommendation from our guest for a good game to get, maybe for a weekend getaway coming up? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We're picking up our conversation about board games for kids, families, grown-ups, everyone. Margaret Rasmussen is with us, manager at I'm Bored Games and Family Fun in Middleton. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a big fan of board games, how did you get into it? What is your favorite game? Is there something you remember playing as a kid you'd like to bring back? Do you need a recommendation from our guest? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go back to our callers now. Stacy is with us in Fort Atkinson. Stacy, hi.
Hi there. I am just wondering if you can give a shout out to any local board game designers or any board games that you know of that have been pretty popular by Wisconsin board game designers.
Stacy, thanks a lot for the call. You mentioned there are a lot of new American-made games, and there are some Wisconsin makers with games on the market.
There are, actually. There's quite a few that are here in town. A couple people that have new games that are coming out or have just come out recently. Keith Mateka has done a game called Role Player.
Got that, yeah.
And he just came out with Monsters and Minions, which is where it's an expansion, so it allows you to do new things with the original game. Kirk Dennison is going to have a new one out called Gearworks. He did it through Kickstarter. So that one will be releasing sometime this summer. I want to say July. I could be wrong on that, so don't hold me to that date. There's also quite a few other designers. Kane Klenko, I know he's working on a few new things, but he's got a wide variety of different games. He did Fuse, which is a fun little 10-minute game. It's real time, so you've got a timer that you're working against. It's cooperative, so you're working as a team to try and beat the game. And then he's even done one where you are actually flicking little things through the air. So it's dexterity. Think Tiddlywinks meets Space Invasion. So.
That sounds good. And I've got one called Starving Artists. I can't remember the designer's name, but it was a Wisconsin designer.
Yes, Mike, and I'm blanking on his last name. I'm sorry about that, Mike.
But beautiful cards, because they're replicas of art, but you don't have to be able to do art, which is good for me.
Correct. And the fun thing about that is it's everything from the classics all the way through like comic book art. And the my favorite is the ones like the posters, like the 50-foot woman. Those actually are worth more money in the game. So, because those guys got paid, unlike the famous artists who didn't get paid.
Stacy, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Daniel in Kewaskum. Daniel, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to mention a really fun cooperative game that I've played with my family and friends. It's called 5-Minute Dungeon. It's sort of a speed golf version of Dungeons & Dragons, but more accessible. You can have up to 5 players. You get 5 player cards. And you, there'll be like warrior on, or wizard, and you play against a boss card in the middle. And there's a deck of cards with mini bosses and like lesser enemies, and there'll be symbols in the middle. And then the players will try to match those symbols to defeat the card. And as you go up in bosses, there's 5 in total. You add more cards to the deck. But yeah, it's a really fun one.
Daniel, thanks a lot for the call. And there's a lot of that fantasy Dungeons and Dragons theme in board games, right?
There is. That's one of the more popular themes that are out there. Again, Dungeons & Dragons itself is actually having kind of a revival, I think, due to Stranger Things, you know, and it's becoming cool for teenagers again. The other fun thing is, you know, like 5-Minute Dungeon, it's another one of those that's cooperative. That's a huge thing right now, is it's fun to have everybody worked as a team.
Against the game.
Against the game, which is great when you have siblings who may or may not need a little help working together. You can do that. And it's also fun for parents, because you can try your hardest, because you're you know, trying to beat the game. So you're working as a team.
Thanks for that call. We'll go next to Alan in Two Rivers. Alan, hi.
Hi there. Actually, talking about D&D, that's the one I wanted to throw out there. I'm in three groups right now, three different D&D groups, two every week, and then one I run for my little sister. And I just think it's a great creative game to get into because it's pretty much all based off of the players.
Alan, thanks a lot for that call. And that's so it's in the role-playing game category. A lot of overlap, I imagine, between the people who are into board games and role-playing games.
There is. And a role-playing game, the thing about that is it's a lot of imagination. So for Dungeons & Dragons, for example, for people who aren't familiar with it, there's one person that's the Dungeon Master. And their goal is not to necessarily beat the players. Their goal is to try and make it so everybody's having fun. But they're the ones that, you know, has an adventure that everybody's going on, and they kind of keep track of everything. The players are all going to play different characters, and they are going to try to, you know, complete the quest and not, you know, get wounded or killed. The fun thing about it is you can do it with just pieces of paper, or there's all sorts of little plastic monsters that you can have on the table. Fun thing with a lot of people's 3D printing is they're creating all sorts of worlds and stuff. So it's very creative and enjoyable.
Alan, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking about board games with Margaret Rasmussen from I'm Bored Games and Family Fun in Middleton. Still time for you to call in with your game suggestions or ask for a recommendation for you and your group at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dennis is with us now in Milwaukee. Dennis, hi.
Hi. A group of friends and I have been playing Betrayal at House on the Hill for almost 3 years now and have not been able to find a kind of a next game to move on to. So I was looking for a good recommendation, kind of a game along the same lines that has the same kind of feel to it, same kind of strategy.
Okay, Dennis, thanks. Margaret, can you tell us a little bit about that game and then maybe share a, if you like this, play this?
Sure. Betrayal at the House on the Hill is one of those games where there's actually 50 scenarios in it or haunts. So what's going to happen is you will be playing as a team right up until one of you either goes crazy or turns evil. There's different things that can happen to you.
And so then, your piece does that. You personally don't.
Yes, you personally don't, but your little character does. And then it becomes one against many. The fun thing about that is it's one of those games that, again, is easy to get new people into. Just want to let you know, if you adore that game, there is a legacy version that's going to be coming out this fall. A legacy game is where you actually make permanent changes to the game. I know other legacy games, you're stickering up things or you're writing on the board or cards. There's even some where you're tearing up pieces to be thrown away, which is a little hard to get used to. But
I have a hard time with that.
It's actually quite enjoyable when you do that. If you like the horror theme or the Cthulhu world of Lovecraft, I really recommend Mansions of Madness 2nd Edition. That one is going to have an app. So that's another big thing that's happening now is the technology is being added. And so you'll download a free app and it takes care of a lot of the bookkeeping and the setup. So it's just a little easier to get into. And that's another one that's great as you're working as a team.
Hope that helps, Dennis. We'll go next to Greg in Barneveld. Greg, hi.
Hello. I haven't heard anybody mention Stratego. When I was in college, we used to play that for hours and hours, but we had a little rule change on it. I don't know if you're familiar, but bombs never move. We had moving bombs, and then we had to elevate the status of the miner. And it made it a really, really good game.
Greg, thanks a lot for that call. So that's the one. I played that as a kid where you see your pieces, your opponent sees their pieces. You don't see each other. So there's that mystery element
there
of guessing
is.
Which
you
is
can
which.
See that they have a piece. You just don't know what piece is over there. Stratego's another game that's been around for forever, and they keep coming out with new versions with new rules. Some of them are quite complex. There was one for like the Waterloo battle, and then there's, you know, the one in the future with Space Marines. So that's a great one.
Thanks a lot for the call. We heard an email from Margo who says, my family and I really enjoy Machi Koro, which I haven't played. We were initially struck by how very kind the rules were when people ran out of money. You can't go into debt. Margo says, do you have any suggestions for games similar to that or Ticket to Ride?
A couple of games that I really enjoy. Dominion is a fun one. That is one like Machi Koro where you are actually going to be adding new cards to your hand So how you play the game is going to be slightly different from another person, how they play the game. Another one that's great is going to be called Takedo. That one is a very pleasant game. You are just going on a journey on the Takedo Road, and whoever has the best journey, you stop at little tea houses or temples, and whoever has the best journey is the one that actually wins. But it's more about the adventure.
And I want to ask in our last minute or so, Margaret, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Suppose you have the right number of people you need, the right amount of time you need, what game would you want to play in that instance?
My personal favorite is called Bonanza. It's a game that's been out for, again, 15, 20 years, and you are bean farming.
Yeah, this is a theme that's going to grab people right off the bat. You are farming and trading, right?
Yes,
beans.
You are trading beans. And it's a fun little quick card game, but at the heart of it, it's actually going to be just a crazy trading game like Pit. Doesn't have that quick speed member, but it's all about, you know, can I make a better deal with you than you can with me?
And do you see, I mean, you mentioned 3,000 new games out last year. I think you said, do you see this as a hobby that people are going to keep getting more and more into?
It is, actually. The most people that we have coming in are people that are new to the hobby, and they're growing with it. You know, there's so many new casual games, even people, you know, that have been playing the games that take 8 hours or things. It's fun to have the casual games because sometimes you just have a half hour and that's what you want to play and you want to go to bed at a decent hour on a school night.
Margaret, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That was Margaret Rasmussen, manager at I'm Board Games and Family Fun in Middleton. That's I'm B-O-A-R-D, by the way. She joined us to talk about board game recommendations for this summer. There's still time for you to weigh in, by the way. You can tweet us, what are you playing this weekend? Tweet us at Central Time WPR. Or post over at the Ideas Network Facebook page. I'm always looking for recommendations too, so share them online.